and we're glad that you're here. Oh, children, there must be something good for you. My sister's been chomping at the bit to take you children downstairs today. Praise the Lord. Quite the troop. Cruz and Mac offered to take the children for us today as we were coming and driving to church. And we said, it's more than just watching them. Karen says, yeah, you got to teach them something. And Mac goes, well, we'll be able to teach them something. We're like, yeah, okay. You can certainly teach them something. I'm not sure if they need to learn that. Cruz said, yeah, we can teach them how to roll a house. And I'm like, no. Anybody ever rolled a house? You don't know what I'm talking about? Good. Don't worry about it. Requires lots of toilet paper. Buy the cheap stuff because you're going to use a lot of it. Anyway, I didn't say that. Cruz says to Uncle Dale, have you ever rolled a house? And I'm like, well, I never got in trouble for it. Oh, dear Jesus, help us. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 17. Now, Jesus had just gone through temptation of the devil. He comes out victorious. And he starts his ministry. In verse 17, he says, it says that he began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I wasn't going to start with this particular verse, but it was right there, and so I decided, you know what, I'm going to back up and I'm going to use that verse this morning. And the reason for that is we in America today, we need to stand up for what we believe. We are being told all sorts of foolishness is okay with God, and it's you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that, and you can keep on doing whatever it is your flesh desires to do. But Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so when somebody comes along and tries to explain to you that their lifestyle is not sinful, but God's word clearly says that it is, and they want to know, well, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would tell you to repent because his kingdom is at hand. Well, you're not being loving. Well, you know, if I wasn't being loving, I'd let you die in your sin. But you need to know the truth just as I need to know the truth. I had to repent of my sin. Everybody sitting here had to repent of your sin. There's no exclusions out there. And so we, the church, need to stand up for what is right in God's eyes. The day will come when we stand before him. And if we've been given an opportunity to share Christ's love and Christ's message with somebody and we fail to do that, we're going to be in a little bit of trouble ourselves. And so anyway, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then it says, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Coming on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their nets and their father and followed him. Father, I thank you for your word, and I ask God that you speak to our hearts today and change our lives. Lord, you give us the best instruction there is. And Father, I just pray that you help us to have the power to carry out your will. Bless each one today. In Jesus' name, amen. There's four disciples talked about here. And these four disciples, if you follow through the Gospels, you'll find their names repeatedly coming up. Andrew, the last time we see his name mentioned is in the upper room. He was one of the participants. The other three helped to write books that are now found in the New Testament. These are men that when Jesus approached them, he saw them going about their business, doing the thing that they do. He said, follow me. And they did. And I want to look at that verse real quick, like verse 19. He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, our job as believers is a lot easier than what we make of it. Many times we think it's so hard to follow Jesus. Oh, I have to worry about this. Oh, I have to do that. Oh, this. You know, all you have to really do is follow Christ. Drop whatever it is you're doing, answer the call, and follow him. You see, he told the disciples one thing, just follow me. And you know, we struggle all the time, don't we, trying to follow the Lord? Because we see something over here, it's shiny. We take our eyes off Jesus and we run in this direction, in that direction. Or we hear a little something that tickles the ear over there. It's like, oh, I'll be right with you, Jesus. I gotta go see what this is over here. Just follow him. You see, he's given us a job. Our job is to follow Jesus. Jesus' job is to make us fishers of men. He says, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Now, the conclusion to that verse is following Jesus produces fishers of men. If you go in context of what he's saying there, you follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. You know, there are many people that think, I can't possibly do God's will. I'm just too uneducated. I'm not smart enough. I can't use words properly. You ever hear me preach? I can't use words properly either. But I don't have to worry about it. All I have to worry about is following Jesus. He will lead me. He will guide me. He will instruct me. He will be the one that will make me a fisher of men. He will be the one that will make you a fisher of men. And so now I have a question. We see what the verse says. We see what followers of Christ end up being. And so my question is, would you consider yourself a fisher of men or a consumer of fish? There's a difference. Now, I'm going to start, I believe, I've been praying about what direction God wants us to go in the next. I've never been considered a series preacher. I never considered myself a series type preacher, but God keeps giving me these little series. And so I believe the next direction he wants us to go is in a matter of discipleship, where we learn what our calling is, where we learn how God wants to use us. And when we learn how to become fishers of men rather than consumers of fish. You see, if those brothers didn't listen to Jesus and leave their worldly occupation and follow him, they would have went out along and caught more fish and consumed them upon themselves. I mean, what were they doing? They were out there gathering up the fish. I'm sure they were going to eat some of it. They're going to sell some of it, but it was all their own consumption. You know, there's a problem in the church today where there's a whole lot of people consuming fish and not very many people fishing for men. And I think that we need to really wake up to the idea that God wants every single one of us to be fishing for men. So are you a fisher of men? And this is something, again, going back to Celebrate Recovery, always talking about doing self-examination. Do a self-examination. Am I following Jesus? Am I fishing for men? A consumer of fish, by my definition, is someone who's hanging around the church but not helping in the process of fishing for men. Oh. I hope I don't hurt anybody's feelings today. But there's far too many churches filled with people who are hanging around doing the Christian thing and they're not casting any nets. They're not even helping draw in the load for those who did cast a net. Just showing up. Here I am. I'm in the boat. You ever watch that Fisher show on TV, those Alaskan guys? Those crab fishermen? Those guys are crazy. I don't like cold, and I really don't like cold water. I don't like being seasick. I don't even like crab. I don't eat seafood at all. But if you watch that show, you will see how frustrating they get when somebody isn't doing their job. It gets pretty ugly. Guys get, you know, as soon as they get to land, you're out. You're not coming back. We need somebody who can produce. We need somebody who's going to be out there day in and day out, long hours, not afraid to do the hard work in the middle of the freezing cold winters or whatever. I don't know if it's winter or not. All I know is I see a lot of ice and snow and water. And but if you're going to be in the boat, you need to help with the fishing. Right? Now, I hope I don't scare anybody away from church. Oh, man, they're going to require me to do something. I'm out of here. I'm not requiring you to do anything. Jesus is. Follow him. He will make you a fisher of men. Lord, I don't have any experience. You don't need any. I'll provide it for you. I don't know what to say. You don't have to know what to say. I'll give you the words when you need them. Just be willing to throw the net out there. You see, somebody who's hanging around the church but not helping in the process, I liken them as one having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That verse sound kind of familiar? Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That's 2 Timothy 3:5 if you're wondering what that is. Denying what power? Well, let me show you what power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world." If you're hanging around the church and you're not participating in the fishing, you're denying the power that the Holy Spirit has for you. You're denying God his intake of souls that you're responsible for. Here's one for you. Everybody repeat after me. You're not going to like this. No, not that. Pam is so quick to be so literal all the time. I always got to be careful how I word things. I am responsible for more fish. I'm sorry, more men and women and children. I don't want y'all showing up here next week with baskets full of fish, because some of you will. We need to get... Yeah, thanks, Lloyd. I've been fishing all week. Here's what I got. But you know what? If you walk in here with a group of who knows who and say, "You know what? I've been fishing all week," and here they are. Wow. What a difference this place would be. Jesus didn't say you had to clean the fish. He didn't say you had to cook the fish. He didn't say you had to do anything. Just catch them. Right? Just catch them. How do we do that? We use the power of the Holy Ghost that God gives us to be his witnesses. Well, what's a witness of Jesus Christ? A witness of Jesus Christ is somebody who tells somebody else what Jesus does for you. Your testimony, you're the one, you got, did you get saved? Is everybody here saved? You know, that scared me the other night. I was at the jail and I had a group of guys and I said, how many of you guys consider yourself Christian? And not one hand went up. I'm like, what, nobody? Really? Well, what's that? Sometimes you ask those little questions just to see if they come just for something to do, because there's really nothing to do there, or whether they're really there to hear something from God. Thankfully, by the time they all left, they knew what a Christian was. But God has given us power to be witnesses. You're saved. How did God save you? And I've said this before, even if you can't put it into words, it's so simple. All you need to do is say, "You know what? I was like this, and now I'm like this. And the only difference is I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin and to be my God, and here I am. And I want to tell you about him because he'll take you from where you are to the place where he wants you to be. And that's a really good place. Well, do you have any scripture to back that up? Well, here's a Bible. If you don't have any scripture to back that up, how many's got smartphones? Everybody got smartphones? A quick Google. Salvation scriptures. Oh yeah, here's some. God has made it so easy for us today. I couldn't imagine doing what I do. You would not want me to do what I do here if it were not for computers today. I can't imagine how they did it in the old days. They actually knew what the Bible said. Right off the top of their head. I know what it says, but I can't tell you all the... They could tell you the verse, the scripture, where the comma was, and all that stuff. I'm not sure if computers are a good thing or a bad thing, but they sure help me a lot. Because when I have a question, I can find it. If I need to find a verse real quick, it's right there. And you can do that too. You can do that too. I shared this a few weeks ago, the Romans Road to Salvation. You pull that up, right there it is, right there, boom. You want to lead somebody to Christ? It's right there. Fishing for men. Using the power of the Holy Spirit. And believe me, you start walking and using the power that comes through the Holy Spirit as you're witnessing for Jesus, you're not going to need any computers or smartphones. It's just going to come out. It'll flow out of you. God knows how to love people. He loved you right into the kingdom, didn't he? And he'll be able to use you to love somebody else right into the kingdom. But we need to be willing to just follow him and allow him to do the work and the stuff in us that makes us fishers of men. So if we're not fishers of men as Jesus has declared he would make us, it brings me to the question, are we really following him? And again, self-examination. Am I really following Jesus, or am I just kind of, I kind of got in this flow of these really nice people and it's kind of cool to hang around with them, and they sing really nice songs and they look like they're compassionate and loving, and so I hang out with them guys. I hope you're not coming here just because we have this awesome, great band. If you are, you're really delusional. No. I hope you're not coming just because there's nice people here. And of course, great musicians and nice people, it all helps. But I hope you're coming because you found Jesus and you want to learn how to follow him more. Are we really following him? Or are we simply going through the motions of what we think Christianity ought to be? Now, there's one for you. How many of us, hopefully it's not us, sometimes it is, how many of us know somebody who know exactly how church should be? Know exactly how the pastor should preach, know exactly how the worship team should do their worship, know exactly how everybody around me should pray and when they should pray and how we should greet one another, how loud it should be, what color it should be. Well, that's Christianity right there. I recognize that. And if I don't recognize that, well, then you know what? I'll go someplace else and find someplace that fits my description of Christianity. You see, we think church should be all kinds of things. We think that God should take care of all of our requests and not require anything of us. Huh? You know anybody like that? God, I want this, and I want that, and I want the other thing, and if I don't get it, I'm leaving. There are people out there. Well, I'm mad at God. He didn't do what I wanted him to. Okay. He's God. How do you think he feels when you don't know what he wants you to do? Ooh. Ooh. You see, when we get mad at God, I think he's powerful enough to just kind of laugh at us. But when he's mad at us, there's no laughing. That's a serious thing. And so we ought to know what His will is and walk and do that. And so if these are a reflection of what following Jesus is for us, then we've strayed from God's will. We need to go get some Holy Ghost-powered fishing boats and some gospel-sown fishing nets and go catch some people to fill God's kingdom with fresh souls. That's what we're called to do. Yeah, Holy Ghost-powered boats, brother. I made this up this morning. You like that? You believe me? Was that obvious? What is Christianity for you and me? It should be about fishing for men. That's what it should be. And we need the Holy Ghost to empower us, to put us in the position where, and to fill us with God's love for people. And the net that we are to throw out there really is the gospel. That's the net. You want to know? Well, I don't know what the net's made of. What's it look like fishing for men? Take the gospel of Jesus Christ, Him crucified for your sin, risen from the dead. You put your faith and trust in Him, He'll save you. Do what He said, that verse I started with, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn your heart to Him and start following Him and don't turn back. Some of them are going to jump in that net and they're going to come with you. Some of them aren't. That's okay. Pull the net in, throw it out again over somewhere. Jesus, throw it on the other side of the boat. Well, you know, I've been throwing the net at work all these years and nothing's happening. Okay, throw it out wherever it is you play, on the other side. Throw it everywhere. There isn't enough. There's no place on earth that God doesn't want somebody casting the net of the gospel out there to win souls. No place. And there's nobody on earth that God doesn't want to use to do that. And that's you and me. Fishers of men. Now, James chapter 1. James, that's one of the guys that we just talked about. Jesus called him. He and his brother said, hey, let's follow Him. Starting in verse 22, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You see, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're not doing what He's called you to do, you are deceived. You've deceived yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Some of us, when we look in the mirror, we don't really like what we see anyway. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Now that's an interesting verse. If someone believes he is religious but does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart, his religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now there's a few things there. A bridled tongue. You know, I didn't really study this. I didn't go into it too deep. I could go into it deeper. But a bridled tongue. What is a bridled tongue? If you think about a bridle on a horse, what's it do? The guy riding the horse controls the horse by the bridle. If you and I have an unbridled tongue, it means that we're not going by God's direction. We're going by our own. How many know that you don't want to get on a horse that wants to go on his own direction? We did that one time. We rented these horses down in Acapulco, Mexico, and out on the beach. And some of them, their bellies were set dragging on the sand. And other ones, my wife happened to get one that was a little spunky. That horse was an unbridled horse. Needless to say, she didn't ride that one back. Someone else did. But God wants us, God wants our tongue. God wants to have control of it. He wants to direct it. And if we don't allow him to do that, our religion is useless. Our religion is vain. Think about that. Think about the way you speak. Think about the words you say. Think about the communication that comes out. Is this of God? If this is not of God, then you know what? I better do a heart check. Because it says my religion is vain. It's useless. And then he says, pure, undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Oh boy, if we had an altar, you ever see those cop shows, those investigator shows, and they get this ultraviolet light and they shine it over stuff and they can see spots and stuff that you can't see with the naked eye. Oh dear God, if we had one of those and we shine it over this room today, would we be unspotted from the world? That would be a scary thing. But we're called to be doers and not hearers only. And now, another verse, chapter. Okay, I missed that. I covered it already. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just to take away any excuse that one might have for not being a doer. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. Okay, my eyes are playing tricks on me. Is that the right verse? Oh, duh. I'm in chapter 15. See, I need a computer. 1 Corinthians 1, 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. You know what he's saying there? Paul said, you know what? I'm a pretty smart guy. But he wants me to preach the gospel not based on my knowledge, not based on any of the wisdom that I have. Otherwise, it takes away the effect of the cross, the power of Christ. Verse 19, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. You see, God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. And if you think to yourself, you know what, there's no way, I'm not wise at all. Good. We don't need any wise guys. What did I say? Go through 31? I don't even know where I left off. 22. For Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. That's good news for you and I. It says there's not many wise guys, and there's not many mighty guys and there's not many noble guys that are called. Well, how many of us sitting in this room here would consider ourselves wise and mighty and noble? Probably none of us. Well, I hope. Maybe, well, if there is a wise guy, great. A few of them are called. Maybe that's you. But I'm encouraged because I don't consider myself to be wise and mighty and noble, but God says he'll use me. And you should be encouraged as well. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. You see, God wants to use you and me because there's no way that you and I could take any credit for the influx, for the increase. Who are you? I'm nobody. What do you know? All I know is Jesus died for my sins. And if you believe in him and repent of your sins, he'll save you too. That's all I know. And the Bible says that foolish little message is the power to salvation. Are you fishing for men? A couple other quick things. Lost my thingy. Idle people are more open to temptation than to calls of God. You know that. If you're not doing anything, chances are you're going to do something and it's going to be wrong. Idle people are more open to temptation than they are to the calls of God. People that are doers, people that are busy in God's word, doing what God's called them, seeking him and doing their best to follow him in the direction he's called them, they're more open to God versus temptation. You haven't got time for temptation. Kids are all singing that song. You ain't got time for that. You got no time for no temptation. I'm following God. I want to do what he wants me to do. And boy, let me tell you, there's plenty to do. You will not get bored. You start fishing for men. When Christ comes, it's a good to be found doing. It'll be good to be found doing. Jesus is going to appear in the sky any moment. It could be today. We might not get to have a campfire tonight. I'm okay with that. But when he gets here, I hope he finds each and every one of us with a net in our hand. Either throwing it out or pulling it in. One or the other. We better be doing what God's called us to do. And so there's a question. Am I in Christ? And am I fulfilling my calling? Now, everybody say this. I am called. I'm called. You're called. We're called. There's nobody sitting here. You didn't come in here by accident today. Some of you traveled lots of miles. Just to be reminded that you are called by God and he's got a purpose and a plan for your life and he wants you to be busy doing his work. Following him. Allowing him to change your life in order that you can become a fisher of men. And so am I truly following Christ and am I fulfilling my calling? Now, if you're not fulfilling your calling, it's either because you don't know that you're called, you don't know what your calling is, you're lazy, you've given up. How many know when you throw a net out there so many times, you give up? Remember Jesus and the disciples? We fished all night and we didn't catch anything. We're done. And Jesus said, no, throw it out again. Throw it on the other side. But that's what we do. We'll throw it out there. How many have witnessed to 100 people and not one of them got saved? Gets a little discouraging, doesn't it? We want to pack up our bags and go home. Well, you know what? Just keep fishing. Sooner or later, somebody's going to fall in that net or trip or something. You'll catch somebody. I remember the story, I forget which the name, it might have been Livingston, I don't know, some missionary over in who knows where land. Traveled and preached. One person got saved. One person. And that one person ended up growing in God and saving tens of thousands. Maybe the one you get will be that one. Maybe that's the only one God really wanted you to get all along. I don't know. But I know this, He wants us to throw it out liberally. I'm not a big fan of the word liberal, but when it comes to preaching, yeah, be liberal about it. In other words, do it a lot. Tell people about Jesus everywhere you go. Let them see Him in your smile, in your face. Let them see Him in your heart. Let them see you. Let them hear Him in your voice. When you reach out and you touch somebody, touch them with the love of God. Fulfill your calling. And we're going to talk a little more later on about that. John 12:26 says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. How easy is it? Just follow Jesus. I don't know where Jesus is going. Well, you can start by reading your Bible. You'll learn where he's going. You'll learn where He wants you to go. Let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. And that is something that I really desire in my life, to be where Jesus is every moment of every day. I'm trusting that Jesus will be at the campsite tonight. Because if He's not going to be there, I don't want to be there. Amen? Now, I can't force Jesus to go everywhere I go, and so I need to be obedient. If He says, you know what? You better pack that camper up and go home. Okay, God. I want to be where Jesus is. I want to follow Him. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Jesus called us to follow Him in order to fulfill God's purposes in us and through us. You see, we will never be the person that God created us to be if we do not follow Christ. That's just the way it is. And I believe that we're in the last days. The last days of the church ministry on earth. I believe that when Jesus appears in the sky to gather the saints up in the rapture, prior to the great tribulation, that He desires to find all of the good people of Geneva Assembly of God. That's you. And all of the other churches that are out there. I believe that Jesus desires to find every single person who calls upon His name and is following Him. I believe He wants to find us casting out nets, casting out gospel nets and gathering souls for His kingdom. Could you imagine the joy in the person who gets saved the morning that Jesus shows up? Could you imagine that? They woke up that morning not saved. One of you preached to them, told them about Jesus. They get saved. 5 minutes later, boom, sky opens up. There He is. Ooh. Thank You, Lord. But if we're not casting out those nets, that person's going to wake up that morning not saved, and the sky's going to open up, and I don't know if the whole world's going to see Him when He appears or not. I don't know. All I know is I'm looking forward to seeing Him. But something's going to take place, and all of you Christians, all of us Christians are going to leave this earth, and that poor one's going to be left behind. And everybody, whoa, what was that all about? And then when they find out, they're going to say, oh, I wish one of those would have told me about Jesus. It's our job to follow Christ. And to let Him make us fishers of men. Again, are you following Jesus? And are you fishing for men? And if you don't know how, just keep following. Decide, determine in your heart today, you know what, I want to be a better follower of Christ, because I really don't know anything about what that pastor's talking about today. Amen. Stand with me. Follow me, he said. I will make you fishers of men. Didn't say follow me and I'll make you consumers of fish. Follow me and then you can sit down and take a break. No. There's too much work to do, church. And this is an all hands on deck moment. An all hands on deck moment. If you have a desire to follow Jesus and you have a desire to answer the call to become a fisher of men, you're just not sure what that is yet, that's okay. As long as you're seeking, you'll find if you seek. He'll show you the way. I want to give you a moment just to seek Him. Ask Him, Lord, what is my calling? I want to follow you, Jesus. I don't want to just go to church and think that Christianity is what my little world thinks it is, but I want to do what you've called me to do. Father, as we stand here before you, I pray that today, God, you'll speak to hearts and minds. You'll show us what we can do. Fishing for men requires a lot of work, oh God. And I know there's a part for me. So God, help me to get over all my fears. Help me, Lord God, to put my trust in you, to make me a fisher. Because I can't do this on my own. Your word says that I need to be a doer, and I realize, God, I'm not doing. And so, God, I pray that you'll equip me. Father, I ask that each and every person here standing, Lord, that this congregation, this fellowship, would become the greatest fishermen in all this city. As we're empowered by your Holy Spirit, oh God, as we cast the net of the gospel, wherever it is that we're found, I pray, Father, for a great increase. Lord, give us words that we do not know. Help us to speak things that we don't even understand. Give us the message of the gospel that is powerful, piercing hearts. Help us to bring in this harvest, O God, as we follow you today. May we all be determined to follow Jesus Christ. Be fishers of men. Lord, in the coming weeks, I pray that you reveal to us what it is you want each and every one of us to do as individuals and collectively together. And when you arrive, I pray that you find our nets full. Bless each one here this morning, God. You have called us. We trust you to equip us and to empower us and to lead us. Thank you for your word, for your love, and for saving our souls. Bless each one now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to spend just a few moments singing a song. If you'd like to spend a few moments at the altar, just asking God to do something awesome in your life. And feel free to just spend a few moments in prayer. But before you go, greet one another. Love one another. Encourage one another. If anyone is sick and wants prayer, we'll have our elders pray for you. You like prayer? Come right on up. Billy and Dave, would you pray for Pat? Anyone else is sick with like hands laid on? Dan, maybe you should come up and help. If you're sick and just like somebody to pray for you that you be healed, Al definitely will. We'll get you. We'll come over that side. Make sure you let one of these gentlemen know, so I don't want you to leave without being prayed for. Lord, the more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. Yeah, I want to sit at your feet. We lift up to you today these that are not well. Ask for just miracles, Lord. Miracles of healing and life and good health in the name of Jesus. Lord, for these that are answering the call, these who want to do more, Lord, just fill us all with your Spirit. Help us, oh God, to fulfill your dreams, your desires, your will. Lord, if our nets are ripped and broken, I pray that you help us to mend them, prepare them to keep fishing. Thank you. thank you for the sunshine. Bless the rest of this day, O God, wherever it is we find ourselves. Be glorified as we lift your name, Jesus. Be glorified.
is all I want, that I may live with you. We prepared a resting place for you. We're here for you. Come with your presence. Come with your nearness. Your nearness is our good. We're here for you, God. We're in it for you, Jesus. We've gathered to this place for you. You are our magnificent obsession. You are our magnificent obsession. You are our magnificent obsession. We gaze upon you even now. Here we are, Lord, the ones that love you. Here we are, Lord, the ones you love. We've gathered for you. You are our magnificent obsession. The desire of our souls is for the remembrance of your name, for your glory, for your fame. Jesus. Holy Spirit, come, move across this room. Move upon the hearts of men and women, that we could love the way that we are loved, to the end, to the end. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow, to the end, you're the one we want. You're the one we want. If you wanna go up.